Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, I noticed that every time I worry, a domino effect starts to happen inside of me. I first get worried about something, then I start to go down these what-if rabbit trails of all the possible scenarios that can happen because of my worry. And it's not one or two trails that I'm running down. I'm doing mental cross-country marathons, running down at least 20 to 25 trails of endless what-if possibilities. Then the back of my head, which never used to hurt before, starts to hurt. And my heart starts to race because I'm overwhelmed with all the what ifs and all that will need to be done because of the what ifs. And because I'm so stressed in my head, when my wife asks me something innocent like, hey babe, can you please pass the pen? My response is, what? Can't you just get it yourself? And so now my worry and my stress is poured out onto her. What's wrong? She will ask. Nothing. Nothing is wrong. As I keep trying to find my own solutions to the worry that is swirling in my head. And because I'm worried, that stress is now spilled into everything that I do. I'm more hurried. When I speak, I notice I'm rude and I'm short with people. When I'm driving, I'm more rushed and aggressive. And so I'm doing everyday things, but I'm not really present and I'm not really myself because my worry has overshadowed my attitude and my perspective. But I have to figure this out. I have to come up with the solution so that I can finally rest. But when I solve one problem, the next problem comes up and I worry again. As I go through this whole mental cross-country marathon again, I get angry at God, I get angry at people and circumstances because I'm not in control and my schedule and my plans are not unfolding the way that I want. And so I become a jerk and I'm restless in my mind, restless in my body, and restless with my life. So what about you? Can you identify what scenarios or situations are causing you to worry? Is it your singleness and how every year that goes by, you're getting older and you feel the opportunities are fading? Is it your health and if you will ever get better? If you're married, is it your marriage that you're worried about? Because every day there seems to be something new to argue about, and there seems to be a cold war going on in your home. Maybe you're worried about your kids and how they will turn out. And if they're already grown up, Maybe you're worried about the unwise decisions that your kids are making. Maybe you're worried if you will ever have kids. Maybe it is how you feel inadequate, or you're worried about what other people think of you. Maybe it's about money or your job or the challenges at work or the division in our nation or the chaos around the world. You know, we're in a sermon series called Overwhelmed, finding God in our crazy busy lives. Because when it comes to life, most people are feeling overwhelmed, stressed, angry, and even burnt out because we're always busy and we're always in a hurry. And did you know that our worry often contributes to why we are overwhelmed? Our worry contributes to why we have overloaded schedules, why we are frequently go, 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 and why we are restless in our minds and in our body. Because we are worried that we are not enough, we do more and we pack our schedules to feel like we are enough. Or we are worried about what others will think of us. And so we just say yes to everything and so that we people please and so that we can be liked. But do you know the real reason why we worry? It is because we want to be in control. I mean, who doesn't? This is our life and we are the ones that make it what it is, right? And we like control because we can dictate how things are going to turn out. Control gives us a sense of security that we are in charge. And if everything goes as planned, we don't need to become overly anxious or come up with a plan B because things are going our way and we feel good and secure. But when we do this, what starts to happen is that we then put our trust in ourselves, in our talents, in our intellect, in our resources, in our wealth of experience of handling similar situations successfully. And we end up living like we are in control or in charge because everything is going our way due to our decisions and our wisdom. But worry comes as soon as the things, situations, people, or ourselves that we have put our trust in all of a sudden don't come through. So instead of being at peace with our original plan, we now have to come up with a new plan. And we now have to take additional measures to be in charge again and to get things the way that we want it. And until we can have control again. And until that control comes, worry will plague us. But did you know that worry is the warning light that flashes whenever we are trying to control and play God regarding the situations that we face? And worry invites us to do two things. The first is to realize that we are trying to play God over a certain area of our life, which is why we are worried. And the second is to surrender what we are worried about to God so we don't worry. Because when you try to play God and control whatever situation you are facing, that is stressful. And you now have to think about all the possible scenarios of how something may or may not pan out for you. And if you try to control one circumstance, you will try to control all your circumstances. Because whenever we worry, it is an indication that we're trying to take control of our circumstances. That is why people who frequently worry are usually overworked, stressed, addicted, and are people pleasers because they're trying to cope and feel like they have to cover all their bases in order to be in control again. Because in our minds, we have created a false narrative of how things should be going, the way that we want it to go. And as soon as reality doesn't match up with our false narrative, worry happens. The more we try to control, the more we will worry. So if you worry a lot, it just means you are trying to control and play God over your situation. Fortunately for us, God never intended for us to live this way because we were never meant to be in control of our lives, trying to determine the outcomes that we want. Because God is the only one who is in control. And he is the only one who determines outcomes. And how we function will really come down to how we answer this question. Who is God of your life? Is it you or Jesus? Because if it is us who is the God of our life, then we will be the one who needs to control everything. And we will do whatever it takes in order to get the outcomes that we want, even if it's not an outcome that is the best for us. If we are the God of our life, then life's all about building our own kingdom so we can reign. We will strive for all things that will support our kingdom and our agenda. So our life will be all about gaining more money, gaining more status, gaining more likes, and accumulating more stuff because we are the God of our life. And in all our pursuits, because we're trying to make it all happen, we will frequently be worrying about everything because we are in charge of running our world the way that we want it. And when this happens, our earthly concerns begin to rule us. But if Jesus is the God of our lives, then the way that we approach our lives will now be totally different. Instead of trying to reign over everything, it is allowing him to reign. Instead of trying to control all the time, our posture becomes one of surrender. Because we know that Jesus is in control, so we don't need to be. That is why Jesus says to the crowd following him, and even to us, that if we choose him to be our God and master, then all of our life and how we function will change for the better and in healthier ways. This is because we have surrendered from playing God and are now acknowledging who the real God is in our lives. In fact, our ambitions and what we are striving for begins to change because instead of being concerned for our own priorities, we become more concerned with God's priorities for us. And because Jesus is the God who determines all outcomes, we don't have to live in a way where we're striving or trying to force our way or manipulating and worrying all the time because now we know who is really God in our lives. That is why Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes?" See, think about it. If Jesus is God and you are trusting him to be your king and your master, then you can trust him to care for you in all areas of concern, and you don't need to worry. Because he is God and will take care of what we need for life. So we may have real concerns, but we don't have to face such things alone, trying to solve everything ourselves or even panic, because God will help us with those concerns. But when we try to play God, now everyday concerns become our master. And we will constantly worry because instead of focusing on God and his will for our lives, we fall back into focusing on ourselves and our will for our lives. We will do whatever it takes to get the good things in this life, like fancy food, fancy drinks, fancy clothes, and then show it off for all to see, which gets likes and validates what we're doing. So we get busy striving for more status, which also brings more worry. And I want to be clear that there is nothing wrong with eating fancy food or having fancy drinks and dressing in fancy clothes. But if that is the goal of our existence, and if we are killing ourselves in order to obtain such things, then we're missing the point of what life is all about. That is why Jesus says, "Is life not more than all those things?" worried trying to get such pleasures and worried that we can lose such pleasures. When we live that way, we miss the point of the value of our lives because we settle for the things that are temporary and don't satisfy instead of the things that are eternal and do satisfy. Jesus continues, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Jesus says, look at the birds of the air, meaning look up at their example, and as you look up, see that God provides for those birds. Birds work hard and they dig and they search to find food, and through their work, God feeds them. Birds don't worry, but they do work. And every time they sing and chirp, it is a reminder for us that God provides for them, that He is their master, that they don't have to strive to make everything work because they have a God that cares for them. No, this is not an excuse for us to be lazy and do nothing and expect God to just feed and provide for us. Many followers of Jesus actually believe this. They expect to just pray and God will just miraculously provide all their needs with no effort or responsibility to do what they can in order for Him to provide. It's that Jesus wants us to remember that we have a Heavenly Father that cares for birds and provides for their needs. So all the more will He care for us, being made in His image and His likeness. Because aren't we more valuable than birds? Of course we are. And if we are in relationship with God, then we are part of His family, which means that we have a Heavenly Father who will care for us because we're His children. Jesus continues saying, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? The reality is that worry accomplishes nothing. We can add nothing to our lives by worrying, but by worrying, we can actually shorten our lives. Plus, it makes our lives miserable because we get into this cycle of fear, negativity, and self-defeat. Worry causes stress, which is one of the great contributors to disease and poor health today. Worrying deceives us because we think that by doing it, we are powerful and we can control, but it actually helps us to realize that we are powerless to do anything to fix the situations that we're in. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Then Jesus tells us to look at the plants as another example to follow. They don't worry or spin in their thoughts as to how they will be fed and grow, but yet they somehow grow. Why? Well, because God wants them to. And He even cares about grass. The grass will turn brown and die when it gets cold, but in a few months it all grows back and we didn't have anything to do with it. Flowers and plants are so beautiful because God has made them that way, but they are still not as valuable as us. Jesus continues, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you of little faith? Solomon was a king in ancient Israel who was known to be the wisest and richest man in all of human history. No one came close to matching Solomon's wealth. Yet Jesus says that the flowers are clothed better than Solomon, even in his best robes. If God knows to provide everything for the flowers to survive, then how much more will He provide for us all that we need? Jesus continues, calling those who worry people of little faith, because worriers are people who express little faith. Since the basis of our relationship with God is based on faith, our worry is really a disappointment to God and His character. Because when we worry, we're not believing the truth about God. We're doubting that He sees, that He knows, that He cares, and that He's more than able. Faith is more than believing that Jesus can take us to heaven when we invite Him into our hearts. Whereas faith is a practical way of looking at the world and living through God's eyes. So when we worry, we're basically telling God, I don't trust you to run my life. I don't think you are really in control. I had better worry about these things. And I need to do everything that I need to do in order to take care of myself, because I'm not sure, God, that you will. Or we say, God, I would trust you in these areas of my life, but definitely not with my relationships, not with my work, not even in how I handle my money, or even my attitude. But Jesus says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus says, why worry? Because when you worry, you act like a pagan who is someone that doesn't believe in God. They should worry because they have to do everything themselves because they choose to not rely on the God who can help them. Many non-believers today believe that their life consists of the abundance of their possessions or the good deeds that they do. But that ends up becoming the master that defines them and consumes them. Jesus is saying to those that follow him that whenever we worry about our life, our survival, and our status, we are actually living like an atheist, which is why we live frantic, worried, and overwhelmed lives. It's amazing how many people who consider themselves to be followers of Jesus go through life with things that they are worried about and never take time to actually let their Heavenly Father know. Maybe they are embarrassed to tell God that they are struggling and need help. But when we read in Scripture and when we read in the Psalms, we can see people pouring out their hearts to God and letting Him in on everything that is going on in their lives. That is our invitation to do likewise. Because we are His children, and God is waiting there to help us. Many of you may be asking the question, but what if God doesn't take care of me? What if my family member has cancer? What about my marriage that is falling apart? What about worrying about paying my rent? Isn't God supposed to take care of such things? And those are great questions. And the thing we must remember is that following Jesus does not exempt us from experiencing trouble. It is true that Jesus encourages us not to worry, but to be free from worry and to be free from trouble are not the same thing. We live in a broken and sinful world where that sin affects us. People's decisions affect us, and the decisions that we make affect us and result in pain. Jesus does not promise that we will be immune to all suffering, but He does command us to not worry in the midst of our suffering and in the midst of what we're going through. So it's trusting Jesus and in doing what we can do in the natural, and then it's trusting Jesus with what we can't do as we trust Him to handle what's supernatural. Because He is bigger than what we face, even though what we face scares us. We have a Heavenly Father who is in ultimate control, and we can trust Him to care for us during these times and somehow use such brokenness to shape us and to grow our faith so that we can become more like Him every day. That's why Jesus says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So going back to Jesus, asking the crowd who their master is, Jesus concludes that if we put him first, and if we truly submit to his rule and his lordship over all areas of our lives, we will be less consumed with worry. Seeking him first means putting Jesus in the center of everything that we do, meaning his priorities are what centers us. His values are what centers us. His way of life is what centers us. So it's putting Jesus in the center of our marriage and our relationships. It is putting Jesus in the center of how we parent our kids. It is putting him in the center of how we do work, and even in the center of how we spend the money that we have. It is putting Jesus in the center of everything in our lives, because when we seek him first, God is now able to live his life in, through, and around our life, which influences how we live, how we function, and how we respond. This means loving God with our schedules, with prayer, and with scripture reading. Loving God by weekly coming to church so you can worship with others. It is choosing to be in community with others and doing life with them. It's honoring God in the way that we live and love and speak so that others can know him and find life in him. Because when we seek God and his priorities first, all our other priorities will be covered. That's why Jesus says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." See, the present is fully under God's control, and so is our future. Since worry is living out the future before it gets here, Jesus encourages his followers to not run ahead to the future, nor think back to the past, but to be fully present with what God is trying to do today in, through, and around us. Remember, it is okay to plan for the future, but if we start worrying about it, then we have crossed the line. There are so many things we don't know that will happen tomorrow. People's decisions that affect us, hard conversations, sickness, crises, criticisms. But one thing we can count on is that when we cross those bridges, God will be there with us, and he will give us the strength when we face it. So we don't need to be worried about today, tomorrow, or the future. So every time we worry, what does it mean? It means that we're trying to control. It also means that we're trying to play God over a situation instead of letting God be God over that situation. So this is what we need to remember whenever we are worried. The first is, if it is worth worrying about, then it's worth praying about. So how this works for me is, as soon as something causes me worry, I tell God exactly what I'm thinking in my head. Instead of trying to internalize the problem by myself, I use it as an opportunity to have a conversation with the God who is near and who loves me. I tell him what I'm fearful about, what I think will happen, and I hope won't happen. I tell him what all these what ifs that I'm thinking about, and I don't hold back. Everything in here, I let him know about. And when I do this, this is my way of putting him first and in his rightful place in my life and in my worries. As a result, I feel relieved, because what is worrying me is something I care about enough to tell God, so that he can give me his peace as I trust him with my outcomes. And when I have this conversation with God, it gives me clarity as to what I can do on my part and what I'm trusting him with what I cannot do. I pray and tell God, "God, I'm trusting you, and I'm trusting this circumstance to you. I am entrusting myself to you." Hudson Taylor, missionary to China and founder of what is known today as the Overseas Missionary Fellowship, gave this excellent advice about worry. "Let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into His, meaning God's hand. And then, when we have given all over to Him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about. Next, when we find ourselves worrying, it is surrendering to God and putting Him back in His rightful place in our lives. Surrendering really means giving up our way of doing things and submitting to God's way of doing things. It is giving Him control over what we are trying to control. One of the ways that I surrender my tendency to control over to God is by using sentence prayers that I pray again and again throughout my day whenever I'm worried or feel overwhelmed. These prayers not only acknowledge that I belong to God, but they also help me to remind me that God has taken care of me before and that He will do it again. They help to remind me that God is in control and that He is the God of my outcomes, so I can trust Him with my outcomes. A few examples of these sentence prayers come right from Scripture. God, You are my shepherd. I lack nothing. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in You. God, I don't need to be afraid because I know You will help me. God, without You, I can do nothing. And know that when we daily pray and surrender our worries to God, it is not an excuse for us to just sit back and not take any responsibility for our lives. God wants us to always give Him our best in all situations and to be faithful with what He has provided for us. It is doing everything we can in the natural and then trusting God with the supernatural. Whenever we worry, it is an indication that we're trying to take control of our circumstances. And if it is worth worrying about, then it is worth praying about. And as you pray about it, surrender it to God as you put Him back in His rightful place in your life and in your circumstances. These are things that you can practice doing daily as you continue to deepen your relationship with the God who loves you and who cares for you. Remember, when we seek God and His priorities first, all our other priorities will be covered. Let me pray for us. God, we surrender control to You. Whatever we are worried about, we want to let You know about it so that You can give us perspective and remind us that You are the God who is in control and You are the God that determines outcomes. We want our rest of mind from You, Lord. And so give us Your yoke so that we can learn to follow You and function in Your ways. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience His love and hope. You want to experience His mercy and forgiveness for your sins. Well, know that God loves you so much that He came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you and me for our sins and to create an avenue so that we can have a real relationship with Him now and for all of eternity. He lived a perfect life, and then He chose to die for your sins and my sins so that we can have forgiveness and new life in Him. And not only did He die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that He wasn't just a man, but the God who saves. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit so that I can follow You for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that You meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you are part of His family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. And we would love to get to know you better and give you some resources to even help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.